This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey's holding it down for us in New York City. Happy Monday. I'll be here with you for two more hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Where have you been? Oh, you missed the beginning? Oh, not to worry. We got technology. You can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can start from the beginning. You can hit pause. You can tell your next door neighbor to shut up. I don't know what you do in your life. That's your business. The Odyssey app is free. Consider it a gift from us. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network and things pop right on up. The show pops right on up. You don't even have to lift a finger. The joys and wonders of technology. You can contact the show too. You got a phone number, it works. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. We are minutes away from kickoff. Monday Night Football. The Cincinnati Bengals. Man, for all this stupid technology, Dallas Cowboys. Hickey, we have not advanced this far in technology yet. When a streaming show ends, it can't just run on the same. Imagine, remember back in the day on cable? Okay, I didn't have to do anything. I was mad for a second. Why is there a transition? You understand what I'm saying? If I'm on a particular channel, this being ESPN, I shouldn't have to restart and re-click on everything, right? What am I doing? That's a waste of time.
Like if you're watching the pregame show, it's just, if streaming, right? You just bleed yes. right into the game. I agree.
Oh, my God. All these geniuses put this technology together, but they can't make things common sense.
It is crazy, right? It feels like we are so advanced in some stages, and in other parts of life, we are so, like, archaic. It's unbelievable.
And like the train system here? Don't get me started. I'll stop. Damn. We're gonna have flying cars before we get a train system that works.
Amtrak had a rough weekend there?
Rough existence, right?
That's true. I mean, go figure. How hard is it to keep a train on the rails? I guess pretty damn hard.
We don't have no... We are trains. Everything is running on one track. How about that? One track going in a circle around America. One track. Anyway, hey, shout-outs to all of our... Hickey, what do you call them? Train workers, operators?
Conductors, operators.
Yeah. Service men and women.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing their job. I don't know about the system, though. Anyway. We got a lot more to get into. How about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by David Sampson, media personality, podcast host. Catch him on CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, Nothing Personal with David Sampson. This guy's everywhere. He was also an executive in Major League Baseball as he ran the Florida Marlins. Yeah, he was the boss. He was running the team. And so we're going to talk to him about this massive contract. that Juan Soto agreed to with the New York Mets yesterday. 15 years, $765 million. They gave him $75 million up front. He has an opt-out after 5 years when he will be 31 years old. If not, the deal then it moves from 51, an average of 51, to 55 a year. In this, forget North America, forget baseball, forget anything. This is the biggest contract ever handed out to a professional athlete ever. I don't care what country, I don't care what planet, like ever. Listen to this news as it broke on CBS Sports HQ.
Bringing news into CBS Sports HQ, where Juan Soto is joining the New York Mets. Per multiple reports, Soto has agreed to a 15-year, $765 million contract, including a $75 million signing bonus. That works out to an average annual value of $51 million per season. $765 million figure sets an MLB record of surpassing Shohei Ohtani's 10-year, $700 million contract last offseason. Just 26 years old, Soto's coming off an all-star season in 2024 where he hit .288 with 41 homers and 109 RBIs with the Yankees. He joins a Mets team that won 89 games last year, reaching the NLCS before falling in six games to the World Series champion Dodgers.
Let's be real. This guy, he's a freak. He's 26 years old. He's already won a World Series with the Washington Nationals. It's not like he needs to check that off his box. This guy is one of the best hitters, sub 20. And he's one of the best hitters ever already. And I know people want to exaggerate. Oh, it's too much money. Nah, this dude is the real deal. The man does what you're supposed to do as a baseball player. Put the bat to the ball. And when he doesn't put the bat to the ball, his eyes are so great, he just gets on base either way. The New York Yankees reportedly offered him 16 years, $760 million. He has $5 million less. Outside of the fact that I already told you Soto can make up to $800 million. He can opt out in 5 years if he wants to. And the Yankees reportedly were offered an out. They reportedly were offered an opportunity to kind of go back and forth. And the Yankees are like, nah, we good. Is it? New York Yankees are going to take this money that they would have applied to Juan Soto. They're going to divvy it up. They're going to get Corbin Burns. They're going to get a bat. They're going to get Santander from the Orioles. I have no idea what they're going to do. I know that, let me say that again, $765 million is a lot. Hickey, the first thing I thought when I looked at that number, and again, I said, well, at least half of it will be taxed. That made me feel better. that's a lot of money, man.
Lower the tolls.
Yeah, well, yeah, why don't they, why doesn't he donate? What is that stupid thing in New York supposed to start soon?
Oh, congestion pricing?
Yes, why doesn't he contribute some, and he'd be the biggest person in New York City. If he said, I'm going to donate $100 million, well, he's not going to do that. That's a lot of money. He says, here's to the MTA's budget. Lower the tolls for the citizens.
I'd rather him spend that $100 million on Pete Alonso. Sorry, other citizens of New York City, but well, I'll gladly pay the toll.
The Mets are going to get Pete Alonso, right? They're going to bring him back. Why wouldn't they?
I think they should, but I'm just saying, you know, you want to give Steve Cohen's money away here. Still, it's a lot of players to sign. Long way to go. Got to catch the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers. Catch the Dodgers? Is this the world that we're living in? We are fully moving into just, this is going to be Dodgers and the Mets and maybe the Yankees every now and then. Is this what we're going to?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Dodgers, Mets, everyone else.
At least two of these two teams. Terrible English. At least we got two of these teams that they're participating in the damn, I'm so footballed out right now, Hickey, I wanted to call it the NFC. The National League.
The NL.
They're just going to beat the hell out of each other for a long time, man.
Well, I hope the Mets get a good part of that.
Well, to your point, Anthony DeComo covers the New York Mets. He was on MLB Network, and he said the New York Mets are still going to spend more money. What?
You look at what they did with Juan Soto. This is still, even with him, not a complete team. They need pitching. That is priority number one. They brought Frankie Montas in. They brought Clay Holmes in. They plan to make him a starter. But they still need more for the rotation. They definitely need more for the bullpen as well. And you can certainly look at this lineup and say, okay, well, what if we bring back Pete Alonso as well? This is all kind of chump change compared to what they just gave Juan Soto. So the Mets are far from done. There's still a lot of work to happen. You might see some of it this week at the winter meetings. But between now and the start of spring training, the Mets are going to continue to add. That is part of why Juan Soto signed with the Mets. He believed in their vision that they were going to try to win, and that means spend.
Oh, my goodness. Hickey, what does that mean? They're going to even try to get that. What's the guy's name? Sasaki?
You know better than me. I think so. I think it's how you pronounce it.
It's Sasaki. Yeah, listen, man. Every year there's a new guy from Japan. That nobody has ever. This is the part that kills me, Hickey. There's always a guy from Japan. We have never seen him. But everybody talks about the guy like, oh, we got to have. Nobody's ever watched none of these guys pitch before.
That's right. No, you're, I mean, Yamamoto last year, right, got over $300 million, which is crazy.
I never saw that guy pitch in my life. But the Hickey, this is the crazy part. But people will get on the radio and TV and scream. I get it. If this is your job and you scout. And you keep up with Japanese baseball, and you're watching. It's this, these games are on at like 5, 6 in the morning, like. But then people will scream about it, like we gotta have this guy, we have to have this guy. You've never seen a guy play ever. That's the part that kills me.
Gotta get him, JR. Gotta get him. Oh yeah, what does he throw? I have no idea, but you gotta get him.
I don't know. How old is he? 22 years old or something? I don't know.
I have no idea. But you gotta get him.
Yeah, I hear that.
No excuses.
Yeah, I got to do this. Hey, I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. A lot of angry Yankee fans. Man, I heard some nasty things. I heard worse than this. Screw you, Soto. You left. You this, you that. The man just went for his money, right? Was he supposed to carry Aaron Judge's bags for the next 15 years? And then reportedly, he had a good time and a good rapport with everybody in the Yankees locker room. But then we even got this news today, or from yesterday, from John Heyman. He was on MLB Network, and he said that throughout the course of the year, there might have been a moment or two where Juan Soto and his family didn't get the proper respect from the Yankees security. What? Listen to this.
One little issue, and I asked Juan Soto about this after they lost the World Series. I took him aside and asked him. There was one little issue with the Yankees where a security guide booted either his mother or his father out of some area, and there were some negative feelings at that moment. Now, this, I think, is back in April or May, and the same guy did it to his driver and chef, and the chef had a way, and driver had a way out in the rain. And, I mean, Soto is a family guy. He was not too happy at the time.
Oh, man. Hickey, I can't say I relate because I can't. But them security guys at the Yankees is like, relax a little bit. Just take it easy. I get it. It's Yankees, Yankee Stadium. It's New York City. Just, you could be safe without being a jerk. I don't have a story, but those guys, they're a pain in the ass.
So in a movie, fictitiously, one of the security guards shoots Alex Wright or Derek Jeter.
Oh, boy.
And
Wait. Didn't we see that in a real movie?
The Other Guys.
Oh, that was the name of the movie? Okay, go ahead.
That was. I knew you'd seen it.
No, I didn't. I know about that part because Derek Jeter ended up homeless, right?
I don't know about that part. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, Derek Jeter played himself in a movie with the Yankees. Like, he got shot.
Oh, No. This is a different movie then.
Oh, Derek Jeter was in another movie?
The Other Guys was with Will Ferrell and they were cops, undercover cops. And the whole thing is why, you know, he's at a desk was because when he's working security at Yankee Stadium, he saw someone coming down the tunnel and said, freeze. He didn't do it. He shot him. And it was Derek Jeter like, going to batting practice. So the whole thing's, oh, man, you shot Jeter.
Right. We're not talking about the same movie?
I thought so.
I thought at the end of that movie, Derek Jeter ended up homeless. Like, he got shot and his life went to hell after that. He was homeless.
I don't think we're talking about the same movie because it was a very small part. Like, you shot Jeter, that's it. Then you move on. Like, we don't hear from Jeter again.
Oh, okay.
That's the only Yankee involvement in that movie.
I have to look this up in the break.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, I don't know that. I don't know.
Anyway. That anyway. Is security around Yankee Stadium in a movie messing things up. Real life security, maybe, I mean, again, granted, we'll see how much actually that impacted him, but maybe drove Soto across town. If that's the case, I applaud Yankee security. Keep hey. Being stringent.
You know, but the Yankees will be fine, I believe. And I think the Mets will be fine. I don't think one of these teams is going to jump over the other one. These are both... They're both going to win 90-ish games, so what's the big deal, right?
Yes. But, yes.
And then one team has Soto. The Yankees have to get bats, and the Mets have to get pitching. That's just what it boils down to.
Yes. I think the Mets overall are built better and for sustained success. Where you look at the Yankees, they got a lot of holes.
Yes.
Not named Aaron Judge.
Long term, correct.
And how, you know, as the Orioles get better, you know, see the Astros, they can keep it together. Like,
oh, boy. Here we go.
What do you mean, here we go?
No, I'm saying I've had my time. If the Yankees never win anything again in my lifetime, I'm good. I've had enough. In your lifetime, they haven't won anything. So I'd be happy for you. Go for it. Your turn. Your turn.
If
your
that
turn.
Is your method of coping, no problem.
Yes.
Fine
no,
by me.
It's reality. It's reality.
And that's why yesterday was so big.
Yeah.
Was like, and that was truly one of the best days of my life because that was one of the few times you could actually say the Mets got one over on the Yankees.
I agree. But that's why, for me as a Yankee fan, is it disappointing not to have Soto? Yeah. But I'm like, you know. The Yankees will be fine. The Yankees have been the Yankees. Eventually, they'll win one. They'll still be competitive. They can go get some pitching now. I'm okay. I'm fine. It'll be disappointing. But you see, when I'm not rooting for the Yankees, I root for the Mets. I got no problem. You hate the Yankees. You hate them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to hide that.
Yeah. I don't have no problem with the Mets. I like the Mets. Just like not when they're playing the Yankees. So I'm okay. I just don't want to see. And I used to like the Dodgers. Not anymore. It's too much. It's too much. And now you got a guy on the Mets who's going to make 50 to 51 mil a year. Hickey, last year, what is this stupid team moving to Sacramento? The A's. The A's payroll was $60 million. Now it's probably going to go up now. They picked up Severino. They got a guy, or maybe go down. The Mets got a guy who's making 51. You got one guy, one team making 51. Last year, we had a team payroll at 60 mil. The whole team.
That's not good.
Baseball is wild. You know what? We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's talk about all of this with David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins. You can catch him on radio, catch him on TV. He does it all. He educates us about the insides and the outsides, insides and outsides, ins and outs of baseball. David Sampson joining us on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. Amongst all of the news, college football playoff, NFL this, NFL that, Major League Baseball is certainly it's taking center stage, especially given the winter meetings and this big contract that was bestowed upon Juan Soto. $765 million minimum over the next 15 years. What does this mean for the Mets? What does this mean for the Yankees, the Dodgers, the ecosystem of Major League Baseball? Joining us right now is someone who used to run the Marlins of Major League Baseball. You can now catch him. Nothing personal with David Sampson. You can watch him. CBS Sports HQ. It's David Sampson. David, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
You sound absolutely amazing, David. I guess David can't
okay.
hear me. Can you hear me,
yeah,
David? I hear you.
I'm so sorry. I can barely hear you.
Okay. I can hear you. If you can answer. If not, we can try again.
All right. Go ahead. I'm ready for you. How are you?
Good, good. This contract that initially we heard 600 mil. Now we're hearing maybe upwards of $800 million. Biggest contract ever. Did you think things would get this high?
Well, I think it's the perfect storm. When you've got the New York Yankees and the New York Mets going after the same player, you have an opportunity as an agent like Scott Boras to really maximize the value. Plus, you've got a player who's 26 years old, who's already a World Series champion, a pennant winner, an on-base machine, and you've got age on your side, and he changes your lineup, and you have an owner in Steve Cohn who would not be denied, and you have an owner in Hal Steinbrenner who didn't want to be denied. And when you've got those things working for you, you can see how the numbers got to where they got to.
Well, David, we know that the New York Mets still have some spots to fill with their rotation. We know that the New York Yankees now have to spread that money around, being with pitching and some depth. What do you foresee for both of these teams in the short term and the long term?
Well, let's start with the Mets. Bringing Juan Soto onto your team that really got to the NLCS, but you look at their team, they brought in Clay Holmes, and you think to yourself, is it enough? And the answer is no. They really, if they're going to go all in, which they really are, and that's an expression that's overused, but when you look at Juan Soto's prime, you're not looking at 15 years. You're looking at the next 6 years where you really want to see if you can get yourself a title or two. And I think to do that, they're going to need to improve their pitching. If you look at their lineup, of course it's improved, having Lindor and a perennial MVP candidate and Soto together. But you see that even with Judge and Soto, you get to the World Series and then lose in five games, and a lot had to go right for the Yankees. So I think that the Mets are likely not done. And I'll tell you, for the Yankees, I know people are despondent and angry, but if the Yankees reallocate that money and they fill a bunch of holes, we've learned, and look no further than the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles. They had two of the best five players in the game in Trout and Ohtani, and they never made the playoffs. They never made it to 500, frankly. And so you do need to build a good team, and one player does not do that. So we'll see what the Yankees do, but I would expect them to put their resources to work to get that team the ring that Hal Steinbrenner so desperately wants.
David Sampson is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. David, when you look forward towards the economics in baseball, we know that the A's are moving temporarily up to Sacramento. Okay, David is, Hickey, did we push the button? David is, he couldn't hear. It sucks, right? Okay, well, David is, we're going to try to get David. Oh, David, you back? You okay?
You got me. Sorry about that.
All good. I don't know. Hey, you are you giving away too many state secrets now? They're killing off our connection. Is that what's going on?
Boy, I'll tell you, with that crackling, you'd think that people were interested, and they are, because this is such an interesting time in baseball, especially in New York, and what goes on in the next, you know, couple of days, couple weeks, couple months is going to be so fascinating to me, because in New York, you've got two behemoths. You've got Steinbrenner and Cohn. You've got New York, and what Steve Cohn's trying to do is what Steve Ballmer has tried to do in Los Angeles, and that was make the Clippers no longer sort of second fiddle in L.A., and that's what Steve Cohn wants, and to do it, you're going to have to win, and you're going to have to win consistently, and you're going to have to fill your ballpark, and then you can really try to improve your position in New York. This signing helps, of course, but it's not the last step.
Oh, David, that's what I was asking you right before we got cut off. If we go ahead and look towards Los Angeles, are we really just looking at the Mets and the Dodgers and maybe the Yankees just throwing around money for the next few years while everybody else watches?
Well, you know, that's the narrative right now. But think about this postseason where you had the Guardians, the Royals, the Orioles with payrolls that were not high at all. I think there's always going to be a premium on intelligence and on good decisions. And think about last offseason when the Royals signed Seth Lugo for 3 years, 15 a year, and he was a finalist for Cy Young. There are good signings to be done by smart front offices. You don't need to be a genius to give Juan Soto $765 million. You don't need David Stearns as your president of baseball ops. You can get the man on the street to do that, or the woman on the street, anybody to do that. So really what happens at the margins is where you see the difference between winning and losing.
And David Sampson is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show. I had mentioned the I want to call them the Sacramento A's. I don't know what the hell they're calling themselves. Last year, their payroll was $60 million flat. And now we have Soto, who's going to make 50-51. Are we going to hear anything about this from some of the ownership groups later on, or do they not care?
No, I think they do. Whenever somebody signs like this, it owners sort of prop up and they say to themselves, is this fair? And then the commissioner's office gives you a bunch of stats that shows that the team with the highest payroll doesn't often win. It's hard for a team to repeat. Nobody's done it since the Yankees in 98 to 2000. And there are teams with low payrolls who are highly efficient with great young players who can be very successful. So I think that you've got a lot of owners who root against the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers. And I understand why, because it feels badly when you know that you can't afford something, even though you'd like to afford it. But we all deal with that. Everyone's got things they can't afford, and everyone is in a position where someone has more money than you and someone has less money than you. And in baseball, someone generally has a higher payroll than you and someone has a lower payroll than you. And in terms of the Aths, and that's what I'll call them, they're a team that's in transition as they try to figure out their move to Vegas and their temporary home in Sacramento. And that signing of Severino, I believe that's a far more problematic signing than the Soto signing. And the reason I say that is that Severino is so badly overpaid in terms of the amount of money he got by the Athletics, their number one contract they've ever done in their franchise history. And that tends to impact the market way more than the Soto deal, which is viewed as an outlier by other GMs.
Well, with Soto off the board, Willy Adames off the board, what do you think is the next likeliest move that's going to take place?
Well, that's what's so amazing to watch right now is what the Yankees and Mets both do. I don't say that about the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Dodgers, because the Dodgers are, of course, active, and the Blue Jays and Red Sox were just sort of dipping their toes in the Soto waters. But for the Yankees, they've got to respond with what their plan B is and reallocating those funds. And they will, I don't believe the Yankees will go into spring training without having signed one of the top free agents. And I think they'd be well served to try to get a frontline starter. I think that would be very helpful to their team. And as far as the Mets are concerned, they've got to put their focus on Pete Alonso and figuring out, are they bringing him back? Because for me, without Alonso in that lineup, you've really just replaced Alonso with Soto, who's a better player, but you're only getting the increment between Alonso and Soto. But if you bring Alonso back, then you're truly getting the addition of Soto, and that would be a far bigger difference maker for the Mets.
Yeah, David Sampson is here with us, former exec with the Marlins. Now you can listen to him, Nothing Personal with David Sampson. Every year we find out about another Japanese sensation. This go-round, it's Roki Sasaki, 23 years old. We hear that he's being courted, of course, by the Dodgers, potentially the Mets, Blue Jays, what have you. What can you tell us about Roki Sasaki? And I hear he's coming over on a little bit of a discount being posted, huh?
So here's the deal, and people get confused. When Yamamoto came last year to the Dodgers, he was eligible as a full and regular free agent where he could sign for any number of years and any amount of money. And he obviously ended up getting that huge deal with the Dodgers. But Sasaki is not that. He's a controllable player. He's coming here the way Ohtani did way back when he came to the Angels, where the teams post and they make an offer, and his Japanese team actually makes a choice. And the funny part is the team makes the choice that the player wants, but then his home team in Japan gets a percentage. But the only amount of money that can be given to him is maybe up to $6 million or so, which is the international bonus slotting system where all teams are really fair and square, so it's not like free agency. But does that mean he'll go to Miami or Milwaukee? No, it does not. He will very likely stay on the West Coast, and my bet is either L.A. or San Diego. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it will be either L.A. or San Diego. That's what makes the most sense to me, and both teams are in equal footing in terms of the amount of money they can offer him.
Oh, man. David, final question. As we continue on year and year and year, we see what the Mets have with Steve Cohen, one of the richest people walking. We see what the Dodgers have. Are they just going to throw money at everything every year? Are we building up all-star teams, one on each coast?
Well, listen, they only have 26 spots. So they can't corner the market at every, you know, for all the great players that are in Major League Baseball. But there are teams. When you don't have a salary cap, there's always going to be teams at the top of the salary structure. It's been that way for, I got into baseball 25 years ago today, actually, and we were having these conversations 25 years ago. The differences were smaller. There's no doubt that the difference between the number one payroll and the number 30 payroll, the difference is greater today than it was. And that's something that will have to be addressed as we head into the next collective bargaining. But I think that it's sort of normal, and it's not the end of the world only because the number one payroll team doesn't win the World Series automatically every year at all.
Now we see that. We'll see what happens over the next bunch of years. David, always appreciate your expertise. Where can people listen and follow you on all of your mediums?
Thank you. You can find me at David P. Sampson on X and on Blue Sky, but also every day, 8 a.m. live, Nothing Personal with David Sampson on YouTube, on the DraftKings Network, and also I'm on Dan Lebatard's show on a weekly basis, sometimes daily basis. So pretty much anywhere, and listen to me talk about sports and culture, entertainment, baseball, but any sport, and it's a whole lot of fun, and I'm really thankful to the audience and thankful to you for the opportunity tonight.
Hey, David, always a pleasure. Enjoy the hot stove as things continue to heat up. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
All right, looking forward. Have a good night.
You as well. That David Sampson. You are locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. It's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. David Sampson does have a great point. The team with the highest payroll doesn't walk around with the championship every year. They don't walk away with the title every year. But it still makes it difficult to just go, damn it, what about the little guy? What about the small market? Where's the parity? Like, you may not walk away with the championship every year. 80 games, 90 games, playoff appearances. We have teams, some teams that even though they're not winning a championship, they don't even get to the postseason. They just languish. They suffer. They end up like the A's. Cheap owner looking for a quick thrill in Vegas. If that's what you want to call it, that's what I'll call it.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much. Media personality, radio host, podcaster, former president of the Marlins, David Sampson, for joining us in the last break to take a look at everything going on in the world with baseball. Juan Soto, his $765 million deal that can be upped to $800 million. It's a long conversation. Is this, I guess it is, because the money is there, especially if you're the Mets, you're not going broke. If you're the Dodgers, you're not going broke. How sustainable is this just for baseball? I just go, are the salaries just going to continue to rise? Or, and Hickey, this might be where it goes. Maybe even all sports, as the money goes higher and higher, the value of sports as a live product, as an entertainment product, goes higher and higher because it's one of the few things that people still watch live. But are we going to have guys at the top of the roster making all the money and we just got a bunch of fill-ins at the bottom? And when I say fill-ins, well, the money's not spread out amongst the team. And of course, you're always going to have the stars, the guys who are making the big bucks. But we got to have a guy on the team making 50 mil, and then we got to have a bunch of other dudes making like one. I feel like that's where we might be going. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so, just because there's so much money coming in and there's no right now sign of it stopping anytime soon. I just think the floor will be raised.
See, but that's where I go. There does come a point in time. And the TV, the television distributors, the streamers, they decide this. Once we get past the this is what TV is and now everybody's streaming and that has settled in, and it might take another generation or two, but I really feel there's going to come a point in time where even the streamers have gone, okay, crap, well, damn it, we've bought everything. We got NBA streaming, we got NFL streaming, we got baseball streaming. Okay, fine, we got more money than TV. Who cares about TV? We're streaming now. That's where the world is going. There's going to come a point in time where the streamers just go, all right, we paid y'all a crap ton of money. We got you. We ain't paying out. And that's when the money slows down. So my concern and thought is, okay, well, if the money is coming in from television, And yeah, sure, you got people coming in at the gate, physically at the stadiums. Is that going to be the way that way forever? Specifically for baseball, which I think, yeah, the numbers might improve to what? 15 years ago where the numbers were? Like, are we really creating that many more baseball fans where they're just like, I got to go to the game or I got to watch? That's where my concern is.
Well, when you talk about creating baseball fans, I think part of that is just having owners that are willing to compete. And I think that's a whole different discussion. I think it's part of, like, baseball, because there is no floor, there's no cap, there's no really, you know, any minimums or anything, there's plenty of owners that sit there, cash a check, and really couldn't care less about what the product looks on the field.
Wow, that's what I think. Oh, yeah, well, that's
what A's.
Well, he might be moving that team sooner than later if he's still here to see it. Not trying to be crass or anything, but I'm talking about Jerry Reinsdorf. But that's tough. Like, how much, and I want to say younger people see through BS. They don't want to be bothered. I feel like generations have come and gone where it's just like, oh, yeah, my team, my owner's a jerk. I wish he would sell the team. I think there's more apathy for younger fans just to go, why am I even going to bother? I'm not even going to care. And so if the owners don't care, and like to your point, why should the fans care? And I mean, if we got three teams or four teams that are throwing around money and everybody else is watching, then why do I want to bother?
Well, that apathy, though, right? Since we haven't seen it before, for the most part, right, in terms of generations, there's really been no reason for owners to sell, because it doesn't matter how bad their team is. Well, you got to be loyal, so you got to go and watch the game. So people are watching. Viewership is still high. People are going to the games, so they're not losing that much money. Well, now if you're talking about a generation that is apathetic and says, well, my team sucks, so why do I care? I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to go. And no one's at the ballpark. No one's watching. And all of a sudden now an owner's maybe not losing money per se, but they're not making the return they thought they would. Do you see more owners willing to sell than before?
Possibly. That'd be nice.
You know, bring in some owners that want to spend, that want to compete.
Yeah. I just think right now it's like a land grab. When it comes to sports, and when I say land grab, I'm talking about the streamers, like the Amazons, the Netflixes of the world, the YouTubes is just saying, we need to get our hands on this. I need to take my piece of the pie. And that's what they're doing. And they'll figure out the viewership later, because I'm not going to say there's not a lot of things positive for viewership for sports. I would say outside of long term, outside of the NFL. Yo, it's tough going. I don't want to say it's a sports bubble, but these numbers are getting nuts, and they exist in the current ecosystem, of now of contracts and TV rights or streaming rights, not necessarily going to be what the next round looks like. Everybody always wants to push the numbers higher and higher and higher. But what happens when one of the streamers or the streamers collectively say, OK, we got our land, we got our piece of the pie. We ain't doling that out. You know, we'll see. We live in a very interesting time when it comes to media. And media is what's driving the growth of all of these sports. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, like this crap I'm watching right now. I can't believe I sat here and watched this for the past, I guess now, 40 minutes. Hickey, I've watched the Simpsons version of Monday Night Football.
And what do you think?
It's interesting. I would love to hear it. Obviously, I can't. I saw Bart Simpson throw a touchdown pass to Ralph Wiggum.
So, how is it working?
It is a combination of what you, me, and Marco said. There are NFL Simpsonized players on the football field. They look like Simpson versions of the football players. But then some of the players are Simpsons characters. So I initially believe I saw Homer Simpson as a Rush throw a touchdown to CeeDee Lamb.
Interesting. Okay, so they do have the real characters actually as players in the game.
They're mixed in with the actual. There's like two or three Simpsons characters that are replacing the NFL guys. The other 19 or 20 dudes are just cartoonized, Simpsonized, you know, NFL graphic players. Yeah. Like a video game.
And even with no sound on, you're intrigued.
I am. To be honest, I have no idea who, I guess, I'm going to assume Jamar Chase, maybe it's Higgins. I have no idea who Joe Burrow threw the pass to, because graphically it was Bart Simpson to Ralph Wiggum.
So it was to Jamar Chase.
Okay,
so I guess. Going to score the touchdown. That's okay. A little frustrating.
Yeah, I
guess it's more for the kids, but...
Yeah, I have no idea. I'd have to look at the stats to see who he threw the touchdown to. Yeah, five-yard touchdown pass from Joe Burrow. Yeah. Well, I saw Bart Simpson throw the pass, so there you have it.
Now you can tell your kids, hey, I saw Bart Simpson throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, they got aliens here, and Itchy and Scratchy, I was going to say the rat and the cat. The rat is the mouse and the cat, I guess. Yeah, rat, cat, whatever they are. Yeah, I'm giving this about, now they got the baby Lisa Simpson here. I'm giving this about, they just started the second quarter. Yeah, I'm out of here. But it is very unique. I'll put it to you this way. It is cleaner visually than watching the actual humans. Maybe because everything is so clean, there's less noise. You know, humans are complicated from just visually. Just having these graphics with the players, they look like video games. A little easier to follow. I don't know. I could check it off the box. 7-7. Dallas Cowboys all tied up with the Bengals. What a world we live in. Homer Simpson playing NFL football. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. We'll give you another update on football. It looks like the Bengals are trying to score. It looks like the Cowboys are trying to score. We'll give you an update on the other side of the break. We'll go around the world and discuss a lot of the things that took place today. So many updates and news in the world of college football. What's going on with Carson Beck? We talked about Soto. Belichick had some words today about his potential future job at North Carolina. Maybe. We got a lot to discuss. Don't go anywhere. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.